This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. We're now living through a climate crisis, and so finding environmentally friendly and sustainable ways of running the economy and our daily lives is incredibly important. The filmmaking industry is no exception, but just how harmful can film productions be on the environment? And how can the industry switch things up to use more sustainable methods of filmmaking? Joining me on the show today to discuss this is Tasos Yaputsis. He's a filmmaker and lecturer in film at the University of Essex. Welcome to the show, Tasos.
Hello, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm great. It's great being here in Malaysia.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show, and I'm very excited to pick your brain on this, right? Because sustainable filmmaking is not something people often think about, right? When they think about climate crisis and all, filmmaking is not something that pops into mind immediately. Before we get into the core of the topic, tell me a little bit about yourself and what led to your interest in sustainable filmmaking.
First of all, let me say that you're absolutely right. It's not something that people do think about when they think about filmmaking. I'm a filmmaker. I'm coming from Greece. I was born and raised in Greece, and then I moved to UK, where I live now and work in London as a filmmaker and as a lecturer in film at the University of Essex. I am a filmmaker working across fiction and non-fiction, and I have to be honest, like lately I'm more interested in how those two cross over, and right. I'm exploring these kind of methodologies and creative techniques, let's say, and I've became more interested in the concept of sustainable filmmaking only recently, I have to admit, and that's because I would say I follow the general conversations which are ongoing, obviously, on climate emergency across all aspects of life, let's say, all industries, I would say.
Right. Tell me, Tasos, what exactly does sustainable filmmaking mean? And I ask this because, you know, it's easy to look at, you know, when it comes to talk about saving the environment, fighting climate crisis and all, when we say like, okay, don't use a plastic bottle, you know, things like that. It's something that people can comprehend. Or if we talk about fossil fuels and all of that. But filmmaking, it's difficult to register, right? Like what exactly is filmmaking's role in the climate crisis and all of that? Talk to me about sustainability in filmmaking. What does that actually mean?
It's actually close to what you just described. It's following the practices that we know more or less from the discussions which are going on within other contexts, but bringing those within the context of filmmaking. So filmmaking is no different to other industries in the sense that there are certain production aspects, there is certain amount of energy required. There is the consumption of water and other products. So that's how filmmaking can be turned into sustainable. And sustainable filmmaking is concerned with the environment, but also with the societies, the communities in which the productions are made, and the economies, let's say, in which they are made.
Right.
So it's not only the environment, it's also the society, the communities around.
So how much carbon footprint does the film industry create, and which part of the filmmaking process contributes the most to the increase in this carbon footprint?
I'm not sure if you're looking for a number there.
Right.
I will disappoint you. I don't have a number because, as you understand, the film industry is huge. It depends which part of the world we're talking about. The processes followed in Malaysia, I'm sure they're different than the ones followed in Hollywood or in a smaller country like Greece, where I come from. A huge amount of carbon footprint is coming from travel arrangements. And now I'm referring mostly to high-end productions, obviously, which involve a higher number of crews, of crew members or equipment to be moved from location to location. So in that case, travel arrangements cause that. Then again, we have also, as you said, bottles of water.
Yeah,
there's a lot of water consumed on a film set. And I can give you an example at some point maybe about how one may save a lot of carbon emissions, the carbon footprint essentially of the production by saving on water, let's say. There are different practices that can be followed.
Right.
But yeah, I would say travel arrangements is quite a big one there, I could say.
Right. And so, you know, now I'm getting a clearer picture about this because you're basically pointing out very normal day-to-day task, right? It's not so much of this grand shift necessarily, but all these small things, because you mentioned the amount of water consumed on set, travel arrangements, because people are flying, people are taking, you know, vehicles from one spot to another, are transporting all, not just the people, but also all the equipments. And also, so I'm guessing you're also talking about small things like even, let's say, the script, which is all made on, you know, paper and distributed to so many people on set. Are you talking about all these things that need to be changed?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about all this. You're right. You gave a nice example about printing scripts. Mm-hmm. And generally, a lot of printing is going on in a production. So again, if that can be avoided, that's brilliant. There's also the topic of the consumption of energy, because usually on film sets, there are a lot of lights being used. And that's when we should think about how do we power those lights. And that's when the film industry has to work in synergy with cities, with the community there. So there is a lot of discussion going on as to how cities may support film production and film studios by providing clean energy. So then thereafter, the studios can use, you know, their lights and power the production,
right,
but in an environmentally friendly kind of mode, let's say. There are various ways of reducing. Yeah, travel arrangements on set. And these vary between smaller productions, lower budget productions, and high productions.
Right. So, you know, you brought up the word energy. Did the switch to digital filmmaking make things better in terms of how environmentally friendly a film production can be? Because on the one hand, you no longer have to use film. And I'm guessing, you know, that will reduce waste, because last time you're editing by chopping and throwing film away. And when you reshoot, you're throwing the old film away and things like that. You have a lot of access. Whereas now everything is digital. You just hit the delete button or whatever on your computer. But on the other hand, I'm guessing, you know, because everything is stored digitally, now you have large power units and servers and all of these things that store, you know, millions of films on HD. So I'm wondering, was the old method better in terms of sustainability, in terms of protection towards the environment, or the switch to digital, which is better?
My answer is something in between.
Okay.
I would say it depends. It really depends on the other aspects of the production. It's by claiming that moving to digital makes it less friendly or more friendly to the environment would be slightly naive. It depends, as I said. For example, you referred to the need for hard drives and using energy for that. Again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. How do we find what kind of energy is used there? Is it a clean energy to provide this power for those drives? So everything is coming into consideration. Mm-hmm. So we cannot say certainly, you know, which of the two approaches is more friendly to the environment. However, I think it's important to try to avoid that dichotomy there, because there's no way we're going back to film.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
So we have to live with the digital.
Mm-hmm.
And so thereafter, that means that we have to make sure that the practices we follow within the digital filmmaking are more friendly to the environment in some way.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, a lot of times when we talk about sustainability, when we talk about protecting the environment, and you hear these debates across the board, when we say, oh, we need to switch to cleaner energy, then you have fossil fuel companies who are not happy because it's going to affect their money and their wealth and things like that. What about filmmaking? Is taking the sustainable approach to filmmaking, will it affect a film's profitability in a negative way?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say in a negative way necessarily, because there can be many positive aspects as well.
Right.
Because going back to the example of water, which is a simple one and people can understand easily, by asking all crew members to use, instead of using plastic bottles, bring their own reusable bottle, they can save lots and lots of thousands of dollars, pounds, rigid, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
So it can be actually positive. It may have a positive impact to the profit of a film. It depends really on the conditions in which a film is made. If it's a low-budget film and it's made by a small number of people, like a lot of independent filmmakers out there, they may want to improve their practices on an individual basis. So that's you know, that can be done in an easy way, because there is only a few people that, you know, they have to come to an agreement as to what they should follow. And then it can become really profitable. When we're talking about high-end production, that's a bit more complicated. And there has to be a very meticulous procedure that has to be followed from the very beginning, and the production company, as I said, even the cities have to be involved in the whole production, so this to be profitable and at the same time environmentally friendly.
Right.
I would say.
On the show with me today is Tassos Yaputsis. He's a filmmaker and lecturer in film at the University of Essex. After a break, I ask him if taking the sustainability approach will affect film's profitability. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashan Johan, and on the show with me today is Tassos Yaputsis. He's a filmmaker and lecturer in film at the University of Essex, and we're talking about sustainable filmmaking. So, Tassos, have any top directors in the world today, whether it's Hollywood or across the globe, that have made their films in a more climate or earth-friendly manner? What was their process like?
I cannot tell you specific directors. I can tell you films,
right,
or cases, a couple of cases. As I said, when we're talking about high-end productions, it's not so much about the individual filmmaker or producer of the film that they, you know, they aim for this sustainable filmmaking.
Right.
It's more about the production company. And
right,
I'm glad to say that there are all the big names coming from Hollywood, such as Universal Pictures, Walt Disney, even Netflix and other companies, they have committed to reducing their emissions.
Right.
Carbon emissions. So as a result of that their productions are more environmentally friendly. I'm not sure if all of them, they have improved in this respect, but for example, I know Yesterday, do you know the film directed by Danny Boyle?
Yes.
It's a British film. Yeah.
About the Beatles?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So that film is notable as to how they try to impose a green set kind of rule there.
Right. What does that mean?
That means that it's known to all the crew members that this is a green set.
Ah, okay.
So, and you know, everyone is aware that they're aiming to reduce their carbon footprint as much as possible. And then there are practical ways of doing that. Not on an individual basis within the production, but in a collective way. For example, they donated a lot of the catering which was not consumed. A lot of the food was donated to a charitable organization, and they fed, I think, more than 2,000 people with the food which was not used in the production. They donated props and other parts of the production design, I think, again, for further use. Mm-hmm. So those items, that food was not thrown away. Right. And at the same time, as I said on set, they tried to impose a green set policy, which is a practice actually that, you know, any filmmaker can right. do that in the smallest production. And there is... You may be surprised how people are willing to follow that once they're aware, you know, on set that right. this is a green set. Other than that, I think another example is X-Files. I've okay. heard about the X-Files, yep. the last season, the reboot series they mm-hmm. did. And then in that case, they did save on bottles of water. And they actually saved quite a lot of $1,000
right.
because they asked the members of crew to use reusable jugs. I think they saved more than 40,000 bottles of water.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot. It's a yeah. lot. Yeah.
Are there any initiatives around the world that are focused on this, that are, you know, going around, whether it's to the big studios, to the small studios, to countries around the world, and saying that, you know, we need to work together and really change the landscape of film production. Are there initiatives around the world that are working on this?
There are. It's similar to other industries. Mm-hmm. Again, I would say there are. They are becoming more increasingly prominent, let's say. There are courses provided by different organizations. There are production guides. For example, in the United States, the Production Guild of America have their own guide for sustainable filmmaking. The British Film Institute in the UK, they have their own guidance for filmmakers mm-hmm. as well, and more places they have their own. There are awards for films for initiatives, not for, right. so much for films. And there are quite a few film festivals. That's an interesting aspect. And that's nice to see because it's happening worldwide. And from what I know, there is also, I'm not sure if it's still running, to be honest, but I know that there was in Kuala Lumpur as well, an Eco Film Festival.
Right.
So,
yes.
Similar
right.
Initiatives there all over the world. Mm-hmm. If you check online, you'll see, you may get surprised, but as I said, this is becoming more of a standard thing worldwide, these film festivals.
Right.
And there are also forums like the Sustainable Production Forum mm-hmm. taking place in Canada for, again, discussions on how to improve the conditions.
What are things like in Greece? Because a lot of people, when we think of film, we are thinking about the global juggernauts, and that can be either Hollywood, now South Korea, you know, it can be Hong Kong, even India, China, and things like that. What are film production sets like in Greece? Are they, because they are not making movies for, you know, $250 million or $100 million and things like that. It's a lot of smaller films, art house films. What are film production sets like in Greece? And are filmmakers in Greece, I know you are very invested in it, but you know, your fraternity, your friends, your peers, how receptive are they towards sustainable filmmaking?
Mm-hmm. You touched on an interesting aspect of mm-hmm. the industry in Greece. You mentioned that the budgets are not high, right? This is a result of the number, the size of the audience.
Right.
And since we're talking about a small audience, that means that there cannot be very high budgets as
Correct.
Well. They cannot invest so much
right.
because there will be no profit. So they tend to focus more on those art house productions, mm-hmm. which they will find their way worldwide in film festivals,
Absolutely.
In other ways of distribution. Due to the limited size of the industry in Greece, there is no organized approach to sustainable filmmaking yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, filmmakers, as far as I know from discussions I have, you know, independently, they may be taking everything into consideration. But as I said earlier, when we're talking about productions with a high number of crew members and so on, then they need more, something more organized, coming from the production company, even beyond the production company, as I said earlier. So it has a significant impact. When it comes to individual lower budget productions, then definitely I think there are Greek filmmakers who are concerned and they do whatever they can, yes.
And the carbon footprint coming out of, let's say, smaller industries like the Greek film industry and all will be significantly lower than that produced by Hollywood and Bollywood and, you know, Indian cinema and things like that, right? Because if it's a smaller production, we are talking about less crew members, a lot of, let's say, a couple of locations. You're not flying big stars in and out with mega equipment and mega cameras and all these kinds of things. You're not dealing with thousands and thousands of water bottles. Probably it's like tens to hundreds of water bottles sort of thing. So the carbon footprint is significantly lower in smaller independent projects and things like that, right?
Definitely, yes. It's like I keep mentioning making this comparison, it's like any other industry,
right.
any other company. As you understand, US, you know, huge multinational companies, they create much more carbon footprint than a smaller company in Greece or wherever. Everything is less, yes, in that respect. The carbon emissions, the travel arrangements, the cost of a production, the profit of a production. So everything is in a lesser scale there.
Have you come across any apprehension just through your readings or through your experience when you're traveling around the globe? Like, because what you're saying is all pretty much like simple steps, right? It's not like you have to change your entire filmmaking method. Mm-hmm. It's more like, how do you manage your production houses, your film sets, making all these small changes that everyone else is, you know, trying to work towards as well. Have you noticed any apprehension or challenges or people saying that, yeah, maybe we can do that next time, but, you know, now's not the right time, things like that. Have you noticed any apprehension? I'm wondering if there is any apprehension, why is there?
I think so. Unfortunately, and I've noticed even by myself, I don't want to be a hypocrite here.
Right,
you know, it's difficult to follow, to change certain habits and to change certain processes, because it's not easy to do that within the wider context of the society, because certain processes, simple processes of, you know, traveling from location to location, if we use that example, can be complicated because there is not a good public transport system, for example, in certain places where you should. So in that case, you have to take a car. So you may want really, or you may feel that you want to change your practices, but it's not always easy, I would say. And people will challenge that. For example, going back to the film Yesterday, they also, as far as I know, they asked quite a lot of members of crew to travel on set by public transport.
Right.
Which is not many people, not many people would like, I think, to do. So that would definitely be a challenge, you know, in many productions, let alone, you know, in Hollywood productions.
How do we tell Tom Cruise to take the train?
Yeah. Well, maybe Tom Cruise would be happy. He's one of those few that likes some challenges. But definitely, more widely speaking, I think it would be challenging. So I think you understand what I mean by that. There are certain habits, certain processes, which unfortunately are associated with filmmaking, as in any industry, again. Which I think it will take time. With the right education, right mindset, it's because sustainable filmmaking starts with a mindset, as in every other industry. People need to believe in it, first of all, in themselves. And then it starts with simple things. But as I said, it can become really complex when we're talking about synergies between studios and cities and so on.
Right. So would you say that... you know, when it comes to sustainable filmmaking, what I'm getting at is not so much the problems, as in why it's not just open and shut, like everybody in the world is doing it right now, every production house, is less to do with profitability or compared to, let's say, many other industries where they are like, you know, destroying the planet is more profitable than saving the planet, so I'm going to continue plundering the planet. Whereas for film industry, it's more about convenience rather than, oh, if we switch, then we're not going to make money and things like that. It's more about, okay, how do we tell 1,000 people on set to bring water bottles? How do we, get actors or whatnot, crew members, to travel into some rural area where there's no proper public transport station and whatnot? It's more about those kind of things, you'd say? It's more about the convenience aspect?
Not really. Maybe in independent productions, because mm-hmm. when we refer to filmmaking, it really involves various different ways
yes,
of filmmaking,
absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about independent filmmaking, that may be the case. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about studios and Hollywood productions,
right.
Bollywood productions, or, you know, all this commercial mm-hmm. Filmmaking, then definitely profit is the aim. Unfortunately,
right.
It will always be the aim. So they're trying to implement methods and synergies, as I said earlier, that will eventually make the productions more profitable. Maybe not this year, but as all these are getting combined and improved, then the profit will increase. But I think it's already quite profitable since they do save money, I think, overall.
Right.
For example, for traveling, the simplest ways by saving time on meetings or collaboration between members of the production happening online. You don't have to hold all these meetings on face to face. I know examples of music composers, for example, working with the directors remotely. So all this saves time,
right.
saves money, energy, and so
yeah,
on.
Absolutely. So what should be either a filmmaker or a... I guess we'll start small, right? Then we'll go to the bigger one. So if you are an independent filmmaker or just a small production house, and you're just unsure about this whole sustainable filmmaking thing because, you know, you're not sure what to do, what would your advice be? What should be the first step smaller independent projects take?
I refer to already mm-hmm. a few practices. I would say the most important thing mm-hmm. is first to be in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
First is to believe in that, to have it as a priority in your mindset, because you may get very distracted in filmmaking because it's a very creative process. It can become a very tiring process.
Right.
So you may get really distracted by that. So if you are in the right mindset, that's a good starting point. And then you start making all these decisions, as you said, the smaller ones. First of all, by imposing a green set policy, as I said. You may just even have, if you have the money, then you can pay for someone to be on set
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that the eco-friendly approaches are followed
right.
there. Then it's also the community. As I said, it's not only the environment. It's about incorporating the community in which you're shooting. And when it's a smaller production, that's even easier. So, for example, when you do catering for your film, for your lunch, for your crew, you may just get the catering from a local place, from the area that you're filming in. So that supports the local community as well.
Right.
You save on transport and so on and so forth. And you definitely can save on travel arrangements. That's about, you know, scheduling the shoot and making their necessary arrangements. How do people get on set, as I said earlier? Or can you use an electric car instead of another car if you have to use a car? You know, all these decisions
right.
come into play there.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely energy, in terms of how do you bring the energy for your lights and all your equipment, how do you recharge your batteries? If you can impact that, that's great. Waters of bottle, as I said, you know,
yeah,
all these decisions.
Things.
Yeah. Traveling far
right.
for different locations. How do you travel? How many crew members do you need? Make sure you don't get more than what you actually need.
Right. But what about the big studios then? How do we change that? Because I think it's absolutely important for smaller production houses and individuals, you know, whether it's a producer, a filmmaker, whatever, in independent projects, to make these changes as well. But as we've talked about earlier, the carbon footprint by these production houses are very minimal, right? Mm-hmm. The ones that are really making the big impact, negative impact towards the environment, are the major studios. We are talking about thousands and thousands of crew members, supercomputers, you know, big stars who are not going to take the bus, public bus, to the sets. You know, how do we get these mega studios, Hollywood studios, Indian cinema studios, studios in Hong Kong and South Korea and whatnot, to change their style? Are we talking about government policies and whatnot? How would you approach it?
I think government policies could be an option, but mm-hmm. depends on the country we're right. talking about. What's the authority there they have on these kind of mm-hmm. Productions? It will take unavoidably. It will take longer time to change the habits of those big companies and big studios. And it's implementing all the small things that we said earlier, but on a bigger scale and in a more right. organized way, where there is no individual initiative there that has to be taken in each production, but it's done in a very organized way. So that will take time, because they will have to be convinced that it will be profitable for the right. for their productions. But as I said earlier, it comes in also collaboration with the city. Energy is a big topic there for the productions. And they have to find ways of supplying the appropriate energy to studios, depending where they are located. I think studios already started having a lot of processes in an online environment, mm-hmm. which is great. And I think that will be even increased, because they're investing on online platforms where there is the possibility for members of a production to collaborate in more and more parts of the filmmaking, right. in pre-production, production, or post-production. So that is becoming a reality. I think it will take time, but it will happen.
Absolutely. All right. Before we wrap this conversation up, just some final thoughts, Tassos. The role of the film industry in the fight against climate change. What is the film industry's role in this?
It's as any other industry. Sorry, I become I keep referring to the same thing, but it has a role to play mm-hmm. here on working towards the common aim. There are a lot of things to be done. There is a lot of education to happen there for filmmakers and beyond. So I think it's part of the wider community, let's say, and filmmakers. By definition, I think, since it's we're talking about an art form, mm-hmm. in essence, an artist traditionally care about the communities in some way, or they should be, at least.
So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that should go hand in hand, I think, the aims here of sustainable filmmaking and the aims of the film industry overall. And then, you know, individually, people can do whatever they can. I have the position, for example, to be at the University of Essex, so I have the chance there to discuss with aspiring filmmakers there. So I can have some sort of impact there by discussing those topics. So each one of us, as you are doing this show now, can play a role there and support the film industry.
Absolutely. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Tassos Yaputsis. He's a filmmaker and lecturer in film at the University of Essex. If you missed any part of our conversation today, you can check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.